Welcome to the Conscious Leadership Expert Telesummit. And I am so very, very excited and pleased to interview a dear friend, Marcy Cole, who has a PhD and is a holistic psychotherapist. She's a best-selling co-author, speaker, community mobilizer, and humanitarian visionary. And Dr. Cole has been featured on many television shows, including Dr. Drew's Life Changers, Millionaire Matchmaker, Braxton Family Values, with Jane Velez and Mitchell. I'm going to have to redo that again. I'm going to stop it here. Dr. Cole has been featured on television shows, including Dr. Drew's Life Changers, Millionaire Matchmaker, Braxton Family Values Issues with Jane Velez Mitchell on HLN and National Geographic Taboo. Marcy founded a women's group called First Tuesday LA, offering on-in-life programs. I am so sorry, Marcy. I don't know why I'm doing this, but we're all going to be edited. That's why it's pre-recorded. Marcy founded a women's group called First Tuesday LA, offering on- and offline programming to promote social connectivity, professional networking, and social service. And there's also an online network in Chicago, Illinois. And I've attended the First Tuesday meetings, and they are always, they're so much fun. They're informative. The women that are there are absolutely very soul-centered and very much on purpose with their careers. It's just really a wonderful, wonderful time to visit some really soul-connected women. And in the fall, something exciting that Marcy started in 2011, she launched a viral platform for women without children called Childless Mothers Connect. So I'm going to introduce and say hello to Marcy.
Thank you, Ruth. I'm honored. It's a privilege. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well, you are doing so many wonderful things, and you certainly represent the title of this telesummit, Conscious Leadership Expert. The conscious part being you are so present to what is going on within you so that you can be present to what's going on outside of you. And certainly you've taken a leadership role in so many different avenues, and you've become an expert in so many areas. I just love what you've done over the years, and it's been such an exciting time to watch your evolution and to see such success. How did you establish yourself as this conscious leadership expert, or just an expert? How did you establish yourself as what you're doing today?
Well, you know, I would say part of that, Ruth, was deliberate, and part of that was organic. You know, I've got my hands in a few pots, as you mentioned. I'm a holistic psychotherapist by profession, and I have a part-time practice in Los Angeles. And that, on that domain, I literally in my 20s was in television sales and TV time sales for Katz Communications. And I had this amazing career in my 20s. It was going beautifully. They were grooming me for management. But I had something burning inside of me that said, I want to make a contribution. And when I found out that there was an option to go back to school and go into clinical social work, I just knew it was like an immediate knowing. And I made a deliberate choice at that time to let this, you know, thriving career go and really move toward something that was really touched me deeply and was really feeling more in alignment with my truth. And so, of course, I got my master's and my PhD and all of that, and then I started to practice, and then I became, and with more experience, your expertise, of course, becomes more sharp. So on that domain, it was a very deliberate choice and evolution. On the fronts of the First Tuesday Women's Group that you so kindly mentioned, bringing women together in community online and having live events, as well as the CMAMA whole, you know, launching of that nonprofit and humanitarian vision on both those fronts, it was much more organic. With the First Tuesday, it started years ago in Chicago. I just loved bringing women together. We would start in living rooms, right? And we would just, and then I found myself holding space for that and leading the discussion and organizing it and all of that. So it was just a natural, I was naturally drawn to that. And then, of course, we can talk more about the See Mama thing, where that really came from my own personal experience and also hearing it from so many women in my practice as well as in the First Tuesday community and my friends around me. There were so many women now today that have, by choice or circumstance, not had children, and there wasn't a lot of dialogue or recognition or acknowledgement about it. And so that's where that was born. But so, again, it's some of it was deliberate and some of it was really organic.
I love that. You know, what I heard there, Marcy, that I really want to reiterate is that you made a choice. You know, there came a time when you made a choice and you wanted to make more of a contribution, and you are where you are today, the partly deliberate and part organic. And I love that combination, because sometimes we think that in order to become a thought leader in our industry, it has to all be deliberate without allowing for just life to happen and to really be present to what we're experiencing and the direction we may want to go, even though you have a successful career in your 20s, they're grooming you for management, and you decide, you make a choice, you want more of a contribution, you make a choice because you go with the flow, you're certainly connected who are as a person and how you want to show up in the world, and then it veered into becoming a holistic psychotherapist. I love that.
Yes, and you know how they say a lot, you've heard, I'm sure, you know, if you do what you love, the money will come and you'll be able to be supported. Well, I would add to that on the organic front, if you do what you love and are really connected to your authentic where you're feeling drawn, where your natural gifts are, you will actually liberate yourself into following that path that's really meant for you, and you naturally become an expert over time. You naturally become, as you said initially, consciously and connected to yourself, and therefore what you're doing in the world. And so, you know, I don't think the 5-year plans that we tell our 18-year-olds to have, you know, there's something about being clear and deliberate and structured and planning, and then there's the other part about just follow what you feel drawn to, and the rest comes along the way, for sure.
Exactly. And I love that. When you follow what resonates inside, you liberate yourself. That's huge. That is a very huge statement. And I'm sure that this is an area that you help men and women be able to liberate themselves by helping them, guide them into what's really authentic and real for them, I would imagine, in your practice.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole, no matter what comes in with, they're presenting issue, you might say, that might be going through a transition, or maybe they're feeling depressed or anxious and they don't understand why, or maybe there's been a loss, a relationship issue. But ultimately, it really all comes down to our relationship with ourselves and how connected or not we are, and how we can start to really listen to ourselves as our own real, true navigators of what we're feeling, what we're thinking, and what we're meant to express in the world. And once we have our finger on that pulse, you know, that beautiful saying that I think it was Goethe, which I love, which, you know, at the point of commitment, the universe conspires to assist. And once we connect, once we claim, and once we express it, there's so much support all around us.
Oh, and it takes a great deal of faith, doesn't it? Faith and courage, you know, faith to believe that it's all going to come together, especially when financially you might not just be making just enough to, or barely making ends meet. And then the courageous part, and that is to really be able to share that into the world. How did you how did you do that, or how would you suggest others follow suit? Because the people that are listening to this are small business owners and professionals and authors, and this is something that you've done just remarkably brilliantly. So what would you suggest? What are maybe a few steps that people can at least think about?
Well, you know, when I think of my own journey, it took me a long time before I put everything together and I said, what are all my passions and what am I really drawn to and what pots are my hands in? And I used to split them up. I used to say they're all separate. I had my Dr. Cole hat on and then I'd be at my First Tuesday things and I literally realized it wasn't until a few years ago that I realized that everything is quite connected for me personally. I'm going there first with you because I'm going to address the a few things that others can think about. But I have to reflect about my own experience and how that happened. And so I realized, Ruth, that, gosh, you know, the real archetypal identification that I relate to is the connector. And I realized, wow, this is all the same thing. I'm expressing really the same thing in the world. When I'm doing therapy or life coaching with a client, I'm helping them connect with themselves. I'm encouraging them to go inward and listen. I'm helping them connect with their significant other and all of that and create a more intimate relationship in relationship with others. And then in First Tuesday, it was really about creating community amongst women, both on a social level and also a professional one. And so it was about connecting people together in that community, in the spirit of community. And then on the CMAMA front, the Childless Mothers Connect platform, as well as the CMAMA.org, which is a nonprofit, that's really about connecting women, again, who haven't had kids together. And on the nonprofit side, the concept was bringing, you know, childless men, women, couples, and partners together with orphans, children that don't have parents. And therein lied, again, bringing those two populations together. And so it took me a long time before I realized, wow, everything that we do is truly connected and an expression of who we are and the core of who we are. And back to your question is, how do people find that truth within themselves? How do people find their own connectivity? And I would say that there's a few pieces to this, and a few, I think, primary steps. And the first step is envisioning. And what I mean by that is, you know, you got to know your vision. And this is what we were talking about before, going inside and really listening to what your truth is. What's your vision? Are you looking for more friends? Are you looking for more community? Are you looking for a chosen family or spiritual community? Are you looking for more clients, business colleagues? Are you looking for your beloved, you know, your life partner? Are you looking to engage supporters for a cause? You know, what is your vision? And that would be the first step, I imagine. And then the second piece is reaching out. You know, this is where so many people have a difficult time. You know, I was luckily raised by a mother. I give her all the credit for this. She just said, she just ask. So all they can say is no. I mean, just ask. And asking allows us to receive, and it's quite empowering. And, you know, asking can be on the phone, it can be through an email, you know, you're at a party, you're at a business event, and it's walking up to someone and saying, hello, you know, my name is who are you? And really being authentically interested in who that person is and creating a potential rapport. And so, of course, there's reaching out. And I would also add on the reaching out step, I would also say it's about also getting specific. Once you have a rapport with someone, what are you asking for? Just put it out there. And remember, not only does that leave you open to the possibility of receiving, but it gives somebody else the opportunity to give to you, to give back, to support your business, your cause, you, period, as a human being. And so the second piece, of, I think, is, again, expressing what we're envisioning and reaching out. And the third is you know, it's kind of like keep on going, because we know that things can, we can hear no, and we can hear, and someone might not get back to us, and things might seem like it just feels like an uphill climb at times. But I think what's really important is not to take things personally, to give the benefit of the doubt to everyone we're working with, that it, you know, most of everything in life really doesn't have anything to do with us when it comes to people and our how they're relating and whether or not they're saying yes or no or getting back to us or not. And there's they have a whole reality on their end. And most importantly, trusting in divine, doing everything you need to do to get in touch with what you're really feeling called to do, to reach out, to communicate that vision and the persistence and the resilience it takes to keep on going. Things happen in their own divine timing.
I love that.
And so the bottom line is, you know, these principles have helped me personally. You know, I feel like my cup has run over in terms of everyone in the world that I care about, and my world is large and beautiful, and I'm so grateful for that every day. And it the principles helped me in the first Two Tuesday community. I mean, I literally on Facebook asked Marielle Hemingway to come, and she responded, and I met Mary Morrissey at an event, and I just walked right up to her, and I said, I have a women's group too. Would you be available? And she said, I'd love to. And it was that simple. And on the See Mama, the nonprofit front, you know, talk about having to reach out. I mean, it takes a village. You can't do it alone. And so the last year and a half has been a lot of reaching out to people who feel called to support orphans and children's welfare, and as well as connecting to the concept of women that and men and couples that have not been able to have children. Mm-hmm. So I've lived this. I've lived it.
I you know, you've said so many wonderful things. I want to go over some of them because they're very powerful. And then I want to, for sure, we're going to be talking about some other things as well. You know, let's go over those steps again, because what you've provided here, Marcy, are really quite quite powerful. And that first step is envisioning. And it's interesting. You know, you say you've got to know your vision. What is it that you want? And don't you find that most people don't take the time to really figure that out?
There's no question. It's twofold. I don't think you have to be in the lotus position. Here we are in LA, you know, in the lotus position for 30 minutes. I don't think you have to be in the lotus position for 30 minutes to find your answer. I think it's about sometimes taking the time just means really being attuned and listening to yourself. For example, when I shared with you about the years that I was in, when I was a television account executive, I had a roommate. She said, I'm getting a 2-year degree in social work. And literally there was a voice in me that said, what's that? Oh my gosh, I want to do that. It was guttural. It was visceral. It was instinctual. And so I wasn't even looking at the sky and asking for answers. I mean, it literally was, talk about organic. It was that organic in that moment. I listened. I paid attention. I trusted it. I went for it. I started to learn. It started to reinforce itself. I was like, yes, this is for me. And then, as you said before, it does take courage, because I made 1/5 of the income that I was making once I made that leap. And people in my life thought I was out of my mind, particularly my parents at the time. But, you know, I never looked back. And so sometimes it might mean going on a retreat by yourself and spending some time alone and solitude and all of that, and that's great, and there's no question to connect with ourselves. We need that time. But also, I would say, really listen to the little, you know, the big screams and the little whispers, because they're there. They happen. They really do. And we're out in the world, and we, you know, listen to what you're naturally drawn toward.
Right. Instead of being driven by what someone else thinks you ought to be doing, for example.
No question, because no question. And, you know, we hope we teach our children and our teenagers and our young adults, don't just go to law school because your parents or whoever, you know, you think they'll be proud of you. We try to instill still that the best we can. But as adults, as we move through life, sometimes we find out in midlife that we've been living, you know, we've been on a path that doesn't truly reflect who we really are and doesn't really it's not a platform that truly expresses all that we're here to express and to give and to contribute. And so it's never too late to keep turning the wheel and saying, you know, now I'm going to go over here. This feels more in alignment to who I am today and what I'm here to do.
Yes, yes. And you know, Marcy, the second step on reaching out, that's one in the past that used to be very difficult for me, to just go up to someone and just introduce myself. And yet, I was so inspired by the men and women that would come up to me and just introduce themselves. And I was always so impressed with that. It so resonated. And then for years, well, let's say decades, I really very rarely did that unless I was in a host position. Then I could do it very easily and very freely. So that's something where, let's say that, what would you have told me a long time ago, well, not even that long, when I was inspired by others coming out to me and introducing themselves, but I wasn't doing that in return? What would you have suggested that I try or do, or a word of wisdom?
That's a great question. I would, off the top here, Ruth, I would have said, you know what? What you admire in someone else lies within you, or you wouldn't be able to recognize it in the first place. So there is a capacity within you to be more extroverted and sharing who you are. And so, you know, confidence comes from doing. It just does. You know, a lot of confidence is internal, and some of it is just we're out in the world and it's about doing and mastery. And so I'd say just start doing it, and remember that everyone in the room, everyone wants the same thing: to be heard, seen, and appreciated and cared about. And if we all do that with each other, for each other, imagine what the world would be like. So everyone in that room is wanting the same thing. They're wanting connection. They're wanting, and so many people are also uncomfortable. And most people feel as inspired as you when someone comes up to them and says, hello, who are you, you know? And so I'd say you're not alone. You know, go for it. And then remember that the outcome is not what the desired outcome isn't necessarily to hear what you want to hear and receive what you want to receive. It's an experience. So you're out in the world being Ruth, being fully who you are. And guess what? You walk up to somebody and they don't seem interested. You know, oftentimes the worst fear is that people feel like they will be rejected or that they will be judged. Well, most of the time our worst fears don't come true, number one. And number two, if they do, it's really simple. They're not your people. You know, if someone is not interested or you know, kind of blows you off or you feel that way, well, then you walk away gracefully and say, okay, next. And then the next person, though, or the person after that looks you in the eye and says, hello, this is who I am, who are you? And all of a sudden you connect, really. And you have no idea where that relationship can go. And if nothing else, it was a great experience. And so that's what I would say. A few, you know, sort of guiding principles to kind of really diffuse, because it's all about fear, right? It's about limited beliefs that are not even true. Yeah. And it's about fear that accompanies that. And we need to reevaluate those beliefs, and we need to, and then, you know, kind of feel the fear and do it anyway. And a lot of the fear dissipates when we've challenged our beliefs and replaced them with new ways of thinking about the same kind of a situation.
Mm, I love that. Your clients are very, very lucky to have you. I'll tell you, Marcy, you are definitely the consummate connector. And that is really what it took to create this incredible organization, First Tuesday. Could you tell us a little bit more about the beginning of that and how that was created?
That was the example of the organic nature of it, Ruth. You know, it was literally, all I wanted to do was bring a few, you know, just some cool women together in someone's living room, and I was living in Chicago, and we would just, for years, we would, you know, have a potluck, and we'd talk about stuff, and then they'd bring their friends, and we'd have a theme, and then, you know, I'd have a time where we were just hanging out and talking to each other and meeting each other, and then we'd have sort of a topic to discuss. And then I had an online thing where I said, wouldn't it be cool to be online together and share recipes and plumbers and, you know, whatever we needed in terms of resource sources, and also be able to put invitations out and just share information with each other, invitations and resource sources. So that happened. In the old days, I was literally forwarding every email So I was, when I think about it now, I wouldn't leave my computer. But again, this was not a, I didn't think to myself, oh, I want to create an organization. It was just, again, what I was naturally drawn to. And then when I came out to Los Angeles, a very dear friend wanted to start it here and then kind of handed over the baton. And then her actually husband was doing the emails. And then I created a different way of doing the online connectivity where the onus didn't have to be on my shoulders at the time, which really lifted me up. And it was, and then it created a free flow, you know, experience for everyone. And then I started having events where I kept doing the same thing, but in Los Angeles, it took on a new form. It just kept growing and growing. And then, you know, and then we started having, people of you know, high profile individuals come. And then I created a sort of offshoot business because I was putting so much time into it. I kind of needed to monetize it. And so I did for a while, and people said you should take this national, and I tried that, but see, here's what's interesting. My heart wasn't fully into taking it nationally. And so I put a lot of time into it. And this is what we all have to do too. Sometimes we stick in it because we go, oh, but I've created this and it's, gosh, I put so much time into it. But it, you know, if it's not, you know, when you need to, you know, to keep it where you want to keep it or let it go sometimes. So I simplified it again, and I let go of the bigger kind of vision. So we have to be flexible and pliable when we're, you know, having these experiences in our business or any other venture, I think. And then, of course, the See Mama thing, when that got downloaded, I changed the form of First Tuesday again. And I got rid of the big, expensive membership and made it really affordable for everyone to be together online. And my live events only really have really, really high visible folks now because I don't have the bandwidth anymore to market it and put the expenses into it and all that. And so, and I produce it when I want to produce it. So now it's on my terms because I don't have the big, you know, it's an online membership in nature now. So it kind of morphed, Ruth. It just morphed that way. And now it's become a life force in Los Angeles, truly. I mean, I almost walked away from it when I launched the nonprofit. I just couldn't. I was like, you know, and then I just couldn't. And then it was coming to me. People, amazing human beings doing incredible things in the world were calling me. I didn't have to go seek people out. And that's what also happens. If you put in your time and you know, all of a sudden people start to seek you out as a resource, as an expert, as, you know, as an opportunity for them. And so it became kind of easy to keep it going, but I had to simplify it and I had to do it on the terms that worked for me now with what's going on in my life.
I'm loving what I'm hearing. You know, I'm hearing that in order to be really successful and become that expert where people find out about you and you're able to contribute out there, it really requires many things, as you said, the flexibility to be able to go with the flow, to be able to evolve, to take what you're doing and evolve as you evolve. And it's okay not feeling guilty, but knowing, and again, where the faith comes in, knowing that it's perfect timing where the evolution is of whatever it is that you're working on now.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I love that you brought in the word evolve. There's no question it is an evolution. And we can't, you know, we have to stay really, really present with what is and really pay attention to what's feeling right and true. And then, as you said, you have the faith to move forward. I mean, every single big shift in my life came with some fear. It all, you know, when I left my first marriage, it felt like I was jumping off a cliff. And when I left the television cushy job in my 20s, there was moments of like, what, you know? And when I changed the form of First Tuesday, I was a little nervous about it because I didn't want anyone to feel like I was abandoning them and abandoning ship. But boy, those were momentary experiences, but I knew in my heart, and we all know in our heart what is true for us. I knew the direction I was going was the right direction. And then we have the courage to just put one foot in front of the other. And then what ends up happening is exactly what's meant to be, which is a blessing, which is, wow, yes, yes, I was meant to be single right now. Yes, now I'm in a relationship that feels more in harmony. And yes, this is the field and the profession that feels like it expresses the fullness of who I am. And yes, First Tuesday didn't go away just because I simplified it and worked it into my life. And not only did it not go away, it has catapulted itself last year even in a more prolific way, and it became a huge, huge network of support for the nonprofit that I birthed, which I never even imagined. I mean, that wasn't even a deliberate expectation or hope. It was literally, it was literally a result of me as the sort of leader of the community being in my truth, expressing it, and then people, it gave them the freedom and sometimes the inspiration to say, I'm on board with that too. You know, and, or good luck, you know, whichever, but it was all good.
I love that. And that takes us to what your passion is now. And you created something so incredible that's so, so needed, and it's cmama.org. So tell us where you are with that so that we can help in any way we can and be part of it and watch the evolution and be part of this new chapter with Marcy Cole.
Oh, thank you, Ruth. Well, you know what? Organization is called CMAMA, which stands for Childless Mothers Adopt. And we sort of went through the branding of the female side because it's so common. But the mission of the organization is to be an advocate for orphaned children all over the world by connecting them with childless single women, men, couples, and partners through adoption, through informal adoption, where you can sponsor a child's education, through foster care, and through mentorship. And so we have four objectives. We have a website. One is called childlessmothersconnect.com. That's for all women, whether they wanted kids or not, to be and collaborate in community on a lot of different fronts. And we have cmama.org, cmoma.org, which is a nonprofit site. Both sites share a private forum and a public blog. And so the website objective is to offer community and information and resources. The second objective is a grant program. We give $5,000 grants to eligible, again, childless individuals or couples who are choosing to adopt older children in need. And the third objective is the concept of this journey where we are looking at going one place a year where children are in need and taking a collective group of people. So because the experience can be very isolating and it's so huge and can be very overwhelming. So the idea is to take a group of people to a place and to have this, of course, organized and all planned out and to go to a place where we can spend time at an orphanage and have an organic experience with children that need homes. In the meantime, and knowing that, you know, doing our homework in advance, knowing that if that's the case, if there's an organic connection between individuals and children, that there's a way to continue the possibility of exploring the potential for adoption. Meanwhile, if that doesn't happen, the group of us will always have a humanitarian mission in that region. So we will always leaving it better off, we hope, than what we found going there, whether that's helping an orphanage in its resources or building a library or whatever it is. So it's a humanitarian vision with the hope that it can bring some individuals, childless individuals, together with children that need and deserve a loving home. And the fourth and final objective is we've just created, it's in development, the concept of a PATH program, which stands for Post-Adoption Transitional Help. And this is so that we can offer support to these new families coming together. And, you know, it doesn't just stop when you have a child that, you know, your 10-year-old that is now your son or your daughter. There's a journey there. They've had a life history. You've had a life history. And so we're creating curriculum for parents, like a foundational parenting course, that will be a requirement for anyone who receives our grants as well as who goes on our journeys, as well as a coaching curriculum. So anyone who wants to be able to get a coaching certificate and also become a See Mama coach to families along the way that are coming together and trying to adjust to their new situation. That is the program we are currently developing. So that is the overview. And you know what? Our needs are everything from creating fundraising. We have everything that's been done. It's a year and a half old. Is really been done by the goodness of everybody's heart and volunteering, and the funds have helped support us to get to where we are today. But in fact, we don't have a full-time staff. So at some point, we want to be able to raise funds to be able to have a program develop, you know, a director of development and director of programming, and to be able to do all these programs in their fullest form, so that more and more people can be reached and more people can have access to this. And so we're looking for funding. We're looking for volunteers. We have an event coming up in January or February of 2014 in Los Angeles. And we're looking for corporate sponsors and in-kind sponsors. And there's just so many ways. You know, there's so many ways to assist. And anyone who's interested can go to cmama.org or even email me at marcy@cmama.org and express their interest in getting involved, and they'll be on board in a heartbeat.
Wow. You know, Marcy, I'm familiar with See Mama, and I've attended some incredible programs that you've put on and fundraising events, and talk about evolving just in the last year. It's just taken literally another level of life and really evolved to, I'm floored is what I am. And very rarely am I to the place where I'm so floored that it's hard to even come up with the word to say how really inspired I am, not only by the simplicity of how you shared that. It was just so clear and so well defined, but also the complexity of what you're doing and the extent of what See Mama is doing today. It's just, you know, it's remarkable, and it goes back. It goes back again to your steps. I mean, you really walk your walk and talk your talk. And, you know, it all goes back to envisioning and reaching out, which you are excellent at doing. And just keep going and trusting in the divine timing. I mean, you really walk your walk, Marcy.
Well, thank you, doll. I so appreciate it, as do you, Ruth. And I so appreciated you being present from the beginning at the inception. And I would connect that with another, you know, nugget of truth for all conscious leaders out there, which is that we cannot do it alone. We can envision whatever we want, but once we envision, that reaching out step is so crucial, because the level of appreciation I have for the believing eyes like you who would show up in the beginning and say, let me hear what this vision is and what can I do, and then, you know, there's that, and then there's the people who truly are putting their handprint, heartprint, footprint on it as well. And that's a really important thing for us to remember, that not only can we not do it alone, but the vision doesn't just stop with whatever gets downloaded to us. The See Mama, what I just shared with you, and the reason why it's grown in the last year, is as a result of lots of people saying, well, what about informal adoption? And I said, you're totally right. That's another option. That's another way we can connect. And someone said, well, what about taking your coaching program but making it more, you know, really tailoring it and making it way more sort of professional and holding everybody much more accountable. And, you know, I said, that's absolutely true. And then, you know, partnership alliances and then what they bring to the table. So this is an evolution. We evolve as human beings. Our visions evolve, not just because of who we are, but because of everyone in the world that chooses to dance with us and collaborate with us. And that's why I always say, when people say, well, you know, this can be done for your, they'll be talking to me about See Mama as though it belongs to me, and I'll correct them. I'm going to say, once they're on board, it's like our mission, it's our vision, it's our experience. And that's true for everything in life. And I think that's crucial for being a leader. We are a village, we are a community, And the extent to which we can hear and listen and integrate each other's voices is crucial.
You know, that pretty much sums up another definition, but only at a deep level. Really, I believe what a conscious leader expert is, and it's what you said, and this beautiful, beautiful phrase you used, downloadable visions are meant to be shared with others.
Yes.
That.
Absolutely.
It's just
and then what happens to the vision? It gets expanded as a result of the share, because they have visions and they have intuitive hits and they have brilliant ideas and they have ways in which they can participate and evolve the bigger picture, and that's what it's about. And
yes.
When we start to think, you know, I'll never forget, Marianne Williamson said something on stage one day that just, it was brilliant and it was beautiful, and I've used it so much in my own life and reminding others as well, and it really, we can truly exhale when we think about it. She said, you know, we are the faucet, not the water. It was just like, yes, that's right. And when our ego, when we hold on too tightly and we get too attached to how something absolutely has to be, and when our ego gets involved and we feel like we have to own it or be acknowledged for it as though like we're the whole creator, you know, the creator of the whole process, you know what? That's when things start to fall apart, or that's when we can detour from its original mission and vision and the beauty of that. And so we just have to stay, you know, we always have to walk, as human beings, we have to walk that line, and we have to stay really present to, okay, what's motivating me right now and what's scaring me right now? Is it real? Is it not real? You know, is it going to serve me in the vision, or is it going to get in the way?
Is it going to serve the vision or get it in the way? You know, I know there's so many listeners that want to connect with you. Marcy, what is the best way they can connect with you? And I know you also have a gift for everyone. So would you like to share that?
Well, sure. I mean, there's multiple ways to connect with me, but let's just choose one. Obviously, I have the Dr. Marcy Cole site and the First Tuesday. We have drmarcycole.com, firsttuesdayla.com, and the cmama.org. But let's just say that if someone's interested in contacting me, they can try the Marcy, M-A-R-C-Y, at cmama.org, cmoma.org. Since if we're going to split the pie, that's where most of my time is going right now, even though I still have my practice going, as well as First Tuesday continues to survive and thrive through time and through the evolution of everything. So Marcy at cmama.org would probably be the best way to reach me. And I'm happy to, you know, yeah, that's, I would stick with that.
Beautiful. And I know that you're offering membership on the website,
yes,
which allows,
yes,
people
website,
to...
Well, the website has an offer the minute you click on the homepage, and that's what I really want to say, and that, you know, particularly for women that don't have kids, if you feel called to this childlessmothers.com and childlessmothers and cmama.org site, there's so many ways you can stay connected. All you do, there's an opt-in box. You put your name and email. It's absolutely free. And that allows you to potentially, you know, become a blog author and be able to communicate with this community, which is huge and growing. Everything from back to business entrepreneurs, to mamas to the four-legged, the women that are really into animals and animal welfare and causes, to looking for love, the single women out there, and relationship wrap, you know, in terms of what we can learn about what constitutes really vibrant relationships, to women's health, you know, and to inspirational living. The list goes on and on if you go to the site. So I'd say click on, you're automatically on board and in the flow of community with us, and then you'll receive our newsletters, our news, our offerings, and so on and so forth. But the most important thing is that you're invited to participate with us on the journey.
I love it. I love it. Marcy, thank you very much. Dr. Marcy Cole, thank you for being here with us, sharing such wisdom and such brilliant nuggets for not only our businesses, but also life in general, and for your sincere and genuine transparency in how you came to where you are today. An incredible incredible conscious leader expert. So thank you so much, Marcy.
Right back at you, Ruth. I adore you, and I celebrate and honor and so impressed with everything that you're creating. Thank you for creating this platform for all of us to share together. So thank you so much for inviting me today.